Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, First Things First listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, as well as the televised version of this show, just a click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now let's start the show. First things first, is Patrick Mahomes tracking to be back come Sunday? Can Deshaun Watson and the Texans repair their strained relationship? And move over, KD and Harden. Kyrie Irving set to return tonight. How will that work, and what can we expect? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds, the president of Nets Nation. Brandon Marshall, what say you getting ready for tonight?
Patience, Jenna. Patience. It's going to happen.
Got Sage back.
Just got sage.
Sage.
How much sage do you want? Right.
Well, we'll have patience for that story because we got to start in the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Snow in the forecast for Sunday. Advantage Packers? Nope. Tom Brady knows how to play in snow. Bucks blew out the Packers back in week 6. Advantage Bucks then? Nope. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said this. His team has come a long way from that day. But Brandon, what are the chances of another Bucks blowout come this weekend?
Jenna, I see no blowout in this game. If anyone's going to get blown out, it's going to be the Tampa Bay Bucks. Remember, I have the Bucks and the Bills in the Super Bowl. But when you look at how that game played out in week 6, Aaron Rodgers had so many opportunities. It was almost like the perfect storm for Todd Bowles in that defense. You got to understand, this is a really good defense. Very, 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 very good defense. But on the other side, if you go through some of their games, you go through Todd Bowles' history, they're sometimes like, how does he have some of the top 5 defenses? And then they have games where guys are putting up 400 yards or going for 400 yards, 500 yards, throwing for 4 or 5 touchdowns, because it's all about communication. It's all about adjustments and checks on the back end. So if that blitz doesn't get there, you're going to see guys wide open. Go to the first drive. Look how fast Aaron Rodgers and that offense drove down the field in week 6. He was dinking and dunking. He got the ball out quick. Guys were wide open. Then they start making the right adjustments and checks. So if anyone's going to get blown out in this game, I would have to go on the side of the Green Bay Packers, Nick, blowing out the Bucks. But it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think either team's going to get blown out. And I also think you can almost throw out their first meeting because it was such an odd game. The Packers looked like they were going to roll over the Bucks, and then Aaron Rodgers did the discount double pump in the end zone for a touchdown that didn't even count. And from that moment forward, it was a disaster. It was from that moment forward, the Packers had 53 yards of offense. Rodgers threw a pick 6. He threw another pick that was almost a pick 6, and the Bucks were rolling. It was the worst game of Rodgers' entire career. And as a side note, in a more just world, it would have been a game that absolutely banned him from winning MVP, and the rightful MVP this year would be Patrick Mahomes, but we don't have to get into that. And so for all those reasons, Wilds, like, I do think the Packers are going to win, but I also think that this is if you are not going to duplicate what happened in their first meeting, because Rodgers doesn't throw pick sixes and he doesn't throw multiple right. picks in a game, so he's not going to do that again.
Yep. Yeah, that game was a flaw in the matrix, and it's not going to happen again. If we look at the stats, he threw two interceptions. He only had five all year. They really hit him, too. They hit him 11 times. He never gets hit, so I don't think that's going to happen again. So, Brandon, what do you think about this? Perhaps the Bucs' defense was so dominant, Tom Brady is at a disadvantage. Because Aaron Rodgers took all the punches. He got knocked out, but now he's back for round two. Tom Brady never really did his Tom Brady thing. He threw for only six more yards than Aaron Rodgers that game. So I feel like he never got a chance to really cook. He just handed the ball off, threw two touchdowns, but they were like miniature touchdowns since they had such good field position. I think Tom Brady is going to be the one coming into a brand new, fresh look. So he's actually at the disadvantage.
Look, I was arguing with Nick all year about this. We didn't bring Tom Brady in to throw it for 350 yards and 3-4 touchdowns. What we're getting, this is extra. Like, what we've seen over the last 4 or 5 games, that's extra. No, the way they won last week is how I expect them to win this week. On the ground. 35-plus attempts on the ground. That's what you need to see. He needs to keep that guy, Aaron Rodgers, who's probably going to be the MVP, on the sideline. Tom Brady dropping back and throwing it 40, 45 times is not the answer, Nick.
Well, and also, this game is... A referendum is too strong of a word, but this game has much more meaning for Rodgers and legacy and career than it does for Brady. It is worth noting that Aaron Rodgers has lost 3 consecutive NFC championship games, and they've all been in somewhat grotesque fashion. The first one he lost... His team had a double-digit lead late against the Seattle Seahawks, and then there was the onside kick, the deep bomb in overtime. Packers are going home after it looks like they're rolling. The next one they lost was to the Falcons team with MVP Matt Ryan, and I don't have that in front of me, but I think at one point the score of that game was 31-3. They were just blown out almost immediately. And the next one they lost was last year, where the Niners did exactly what the Niners had done earlier in the season to them a second time.
Run the ball.
And by the way, that would be the concern for Green Bay. It's like, well, last year we were in this round. Last year we were in this round against a team that had kicked our butts in the regular season. And then they did it again in the postseason.
So Nick.
But I think Green Bay feels better, Wilds, is... I think they're like, well, we lost this game because we had Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, not Aaron Rodgers, and we're getting Aaron Rodgers back. Yep. Sorry, Blaine, he's taking strays, but such is life.
Yeah, why Blaine Gabbert sitting at home having, you know, some Wheaties. He's like, what the heck, I'm Blaine Gabbert. Hey, so you know Tom Brady's the GOAT, and you did your whole legacy thing. It's like, he doesn't have that much more to gain. Like, 6 championships, 7 championships, I just get a little more space in my storage box. Do you think... that Aaron Rodgers, if they lose this game, do you think his legacy can go backwards a little bit?
If he plays poorly and they lose, it certainly doesn't help it. And I do think that one of the things we've said, Brandon, is the Packers have done a bad job supporting Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Well, this year, when he's going to be the MVP, when this game is in Lambeau for the first time of his career. That's noteworthy, by the way. This is the first time Aaron Rodgers has played in Lambeau with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. They are the favorites. They're playing a 43-year-old quarterback. He needs to win this game. He needs to get to another Super Bowl. No one's going to hold it against him when Mahomes beats him in the Super Bowl. But people will hold it against him, I think, a bit if he loses a home NFC championship game to 43-year-old Brady.
Yeah, look, no secret that I have the Bucs winning this game. But let's say Aaron Rodgers goes on and he wins the Super Bowl, Wilds. I see this whole Packers and Rodgers relationship as an underachievement. I said it this year. Like, how do you have Aaron Rodgers who at one time we were saying is the greatest quarterback potentially ever, and you win one Super Bowl with them. I see this as an underachievement, period.
Yep.
All right, a lot more to discuss here. Bucks and Packers Sunday, the early game, that one on Fox. We got to take a turn, talk some Kyrie. He's getting set to make his return tonight to the Nets. What will that look like next to KD and Harden, who have already started to build some chemistry? It's next. First things first.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, First Thing First listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to First Things First.
All right, let's get to the NBA now. Kyrie Irving rejoined the Nets yesterday after 2 weeks away from the team for a myriad of reasons we still don't truly know. Kyrie's set to face the Cavs of all teams tonight. According to his head coach, he will be there, he will play. Here's a very casually seated and comfortable Kyrie yesterday.
You know, I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces and we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself like I planned on doing. You know, just needed a pause.
There we go.
His words, he needed a pause and he took it. So, Brandon, our resident Brooklyn Nets guy, what do you expect the Nets to look like tonight with Kyrie, KD, and James Harden all on the floor together for the first time?
Yeah, I expect them to compete and continue to look like a premier team in the NBA.
Kyrie's jersey.
But the reality is,
exactly.
Let's go. You know what time it is. Brooklyn all the way. And Nick, before I even finish my point here, do you really want to go the next 3 to 4 months with leaning on that one little branch of they don't play defense? They're not a really good defense. Do you really want to do that for the next three months?
Yeah, I do. It won't be the only branch, but I do. Yeah. It'll age beautifully.
So look,
it'll age, but go ahead, Brandon.
Here's the deal, Nick. I expect them to be a premier team in the NBA, but right now they're overachieving. KD, Kyrie, and James Harden hasn't even practiced together yet. The things that KD and James Harden is doing is off of muscle memory because they spent 3 years together in OKC. So you insert Kyrie, there's going to be growing pains. I don't expect this team to look like a championship team until mid-March. They have a lot of work to do. Don't get it twisted. By the end of the day, we know who they are. I talked to someone in the Nets organization. They said this to me because I'm like, look, I got Nick right on my show, and he has a strong point. He's going back to, like, the last 30 years and talking about mergers and 50 years of history. There hasn't been a champion. There hasn't been a champion that got it done not playing good defense. Yeah. And they're like, look, Brandon, these guys know how to win. They know how to play a good enough defense to get to the finals. We know what we need to do once we get there to compete. And those are the things that we'll work on. So I expect them to get what they need done soon.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. Wilds, I want to hear your take on this because I feel like I'm going to have more coming my way. So I'd rather have it all laid out.
No.
And then I can try to parry it off. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. All right. So here's what I've got. I think I disagree with Brandon here. The idea that it's like, that there's some version of like basketball version of the Tampa Bay Bucks, not buying it. I think it all gels immediately. Kyrie hasn't played in Cleveland since his first game with the Celtics. He's missed games. He's been inactive. So he is going to come out rested and ready to go. Maybe throw up a 46-point game for the president. Why not? Make a nice statement there. Oh, think about it. 46 points for Kyrie. Here's the other thing to your defensive point. And I had to go deep down into Basketball Reference, my favorite website, Jenna, and yours too, Nicholas. And we brought, I said, Dusty, can you break out that old Harden is not good at defense debunking stat that we had, where Harden gets to loose balls, he gets to deflections, he's one of the best players in the league. And when, to Brandon's point, the end of that Milwaukee game, to get KD the shot. Harden missed the shot. Boom. Guess who got the offensive rebound? James Harden. So it speaks to the fact that they can turn it on when they need to. And I agree. I think Kyrie's going to go for 46 tonight. That's your lock it in prediction from the prognosticator of prognosticators. Okay. Big game from Kyrie.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Y'all, have y'all said your piece here? Because now we just have to address some things. First of all, the end of that Milwaukee game, actually, you're talking about the Nets' second to last possession, because their last possession was Durant for the third time this season, you know, blowing a chance to ice a game or win a game. He dribbled it off his knee and the Bucks ended up getting a final shot. They missed it. But that's neither here nor there. Folks, let me ask Wilds a question. Let's go side by side. Kevin Wilds, who is the fastest man alive? Who is it?
Usain Bolt.
Okay.
Usain Bolt?
Why doesn't he have any golds? And in fact, why doesn't he even qualify for the hurdles in the Olympics? He's faster than everybody.
He's never
practiced. So, like, why doesn't he run that race?
He's never practiced hurdles. Never.
Okay, well, I don't know if he's never practiced it or if it's just despite his overwhelming speed, he can't do that thing that's half of the race. So it's like he's the best in the world at half of it, but he's so bad at the other part, doesn't even compete for it. That's going to be your Brooklyn Nets, y'all. And you can say, oh my God, they're going to be unstoppable offensively. Well, it's funny. I've never worn a retainer, Wilds, but I do study Basketball Reference. So I did something this morning, and I said, you know what?
Here we go.
Let's just go back this century. Let's just go back this century and say, forget the defense, how does the number one offense in basketball typically fare? Because that is the upside for the Nets, the best offense in the entire league. And this century, the number one offense in basketball has won the title once. The 2017 Warriors. And you know what they paired it with? The number two defense. Now, you know who was, you know who was a part of six separate number one offenses that didn't even make the finals? Steve Nash. Three times in Phoenix, three times in Dallas. Oh my goodness, run and gun. Luka was a number one offense last year. Portland had some. Milwaukee had some. Denver had some. Durant had one in Oklahoma City. They didn't make the finals that year. The Nets' upside is be the number one offense. And I actually, unlike a lot of people, have watched a lot of James Harden. So I know he is not the abysmal defender he's made out to be, was made out to be in Houston.
Don't have to
but
be.
But you know who is? Kyrie. And Kyrie being added to this equation is not a net gain. It's not a net positive. Everyone's talking about, how they looked without Kyrie. That's less of a concern than how they're about to look with Kyrie Wilds.
See, here's the thing. I think those are very good points. I don't understand why Kyrie is such a bad defender. He's not like so Isaiah Thomas small that he can just get bodied up. He's quick as lightning, so he should be. Does it come down? And he's smart as everyone on the court. He's got all the intangibles there. I don't know if it's an effort thing or he's like, I need to score so much that I'm going to take this part
matter,
off
Wilds.
A little bit.
Isn't it?
Well, it matters a little bit.
Wilds, it doesn't.
Points from Nick.
It doesn't. I just think it Kyrie can become a better matter. Defender. It doesn't matter. Like, let Nick have his moment. He has another month and a half, 2 months, where he can hang on this olive branch. He can hang on this branch and talk about defense. Because we know the game has changed, Wilds. Yeah, they're not the greatest defenders. We know that. But let me tell you something. Man, that offense is their greatest defense because you got to come with it. Because if James Harden ain't putting up 30 and 34 like he's done at the start of his career with the Nets, you got KD and you got Kyrie who can. So you got to keep up with those guys. And in 2 to 3 months, Nick, you're going to have to change your tone because I'm telling you right now, man, this thing is prolific and it's going to be one of the most amazing offenses we've ever seen. So we don't need to have a top five defense. We need to have a top 15 defense, which they are right
now. The Mavericks. They're not top 15. The Mavericks had the best offense in the history of basketball last year. Oh, they moved up. Okay, they were 19 when I checked. My apologies. Okay. The Mavericks had the best offense in the history of basketball last year. Jenna, they went home in round one. That's all I'm saying.
They didn't have any scores. They just had Luka. Nick, who else? They just had Luka.
All right, we're moving on. Time for Knicks NBA medals. Rudy Gobert had 13 points and 18 boards in the Jazz win. It wasn't enough, though, to make Knicks podium. Nick, who took your bronze, silver, and gold last night?
Yeah, I don't know if Rudy will ever make the podium. Let's be honest here. There were only two games last night, so some cheap medals available. Bronze medalist, my guy Zion. Hey, Zion, tell Karl Malone to go to hell. Bad guy, bad takes. Zion Williamson, 32 points on just 19 shots. Silver medalist, the team that beat Zion. That guy right there, Donovan Mitchell, he had the ball. 28-7-4. You usually don't get a silver with a 28-point game. There are only two games last night. We got to give out these medals. This is like, hey, I'm a gold medalist in the Olympics. What'd you win? Power walking. It counts, I guess. Gold medalist, the Joker. He's racking them up. Nikola Jokic, 27-12-6. No longer averaging a triple-double. Nice haircut, though. Little svelte. I like it, Nikola. If you've got bad hair, just shave it off. There's your medalists. Zion, Donovan, Nikola, bronze, silver, gold. There it is. Well, the sage.
He still got the sage. All right, I watched almost everything, Wilds. Who could have possibly missed the cut last night?
Oh, Jamal Curry. Jamal Curry? That's would be a great player. Jamal Murray. Does a rock impression here where he takes off his sleeve to make a move. A new invention, Nick. When you're about to make a defining move, you sort of follow it up with some. This is the people's elbow. Takes it off, boom, gets the layup. Smart move. Jamal Murray invented a new basketball move.
That was good.
Congratulations.
You're almost missing the cut.
Just missing the cut. We're back to the NFL now. Could Patrick Mahomes break out the behind-the-back pass on Sunday? Perhaps the old no-look. We'll tell you next. I got something in my eye.
We should do 20 minutes on that.
Hey, First Things First listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to First Things First.
Time now for Drawing a Blank. Aaron Rodgers facing off with Tom Brady for the first time in the postseason on Sunday. But, Brandon, the player most likely to surprise you on Sunday is blank.
Yeah, I'm going to use this opportunity to call this player out, to hold him accountable for a little bit. Oh, I still got my Kyrie jersey up. But it's not him. It's definitely Leonard Fournette. This is a guy that has 2,000-yard season. This is a guy that had 100 yards on the ground this year. I expect him to run like a wild man, to run angry and pissed off this Sunday, because it's their only chance of winning this game. You need to go through him, Tampa Bay, if you want to get to the Super Bowl. Leonard Fournette is a guy that was a consensus All-American back in LSU. This is a guy that can get it done, but I haven't seen that yet because he hasn't had many opportunities. Last week, you can see him hitting mid-season stride a little bit where he was trying to get over the hump. I expect him to get it done because I don't expect Tom Brady to go out there and throw for 300, 350 yards, Nick.
Listen, Brandon's right. The Bucks' clearest path to victory is take the ball out of Brady's hands. I couldn't agree more. But I'm going to the other conference. Player most likely to surprise you Sunday is the greatest free agent acquisition in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs franchise. A potential future Hall of Famer, an all-decade team member, and all-pro, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. He's going to pick off Josh Allen or force a fumble. He is going to make a game-changing play. I don't know if it'll be game-changing because by the time he makes the play, the Chiefs will probably already be up 14 or 17. So either game-changing or game-sealing play this weekend. Honey Badger forces a turnover. It's going to happen. He had one last week. He almost had a second one that could have ended the game. Could have been a pick six. Should have held on to it, Honey Badger. Kind of glad he didn't, though, because then Baker would have gotten annihilated. So, player most likely to surprise you, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, potential Hall of Famer, friend of the show.
Love it. I'm going with Alan Lazard, who did the very rare combination The Office and Jay-Z reference on Twitter. The old allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is the Lizard King, which is an Office reference. Had almost 100 yards and a touchdown last week. So if Davante Adams gets shut down, which probably won't happen, but could, look for Lazard to have a big game.
Lizard King. On to Tom Brady. A 43-year-old, going to have to deal with temperatures around 20 degrees. Little light snow, perhaps, Sunday night in Green Bay. But, Brandon, the biggest X factor on Sunday will be blank.
Last week, I went with Coach Sean Payton versus Todd Bowles. This week, I'm going to stay right there. But I'm going to go with Matt LaFleur and Coach Todd Bowles. I expect both of these guys to go back and watch week six closely. I expect Todd Bowles to go back with an open eye and say, you know what? I think there was a lot of missed opportunities for Aaron Rodgers. And our pass rush, our front four, got to Aaron Rodgers quickly. So I expect Todd Bowles to really go in, tighten up that game plan, and make sure those guys on the back end, the safeties and the cornerbacks, are communicating at an all-time high, because if they can shore up that pass rush, man, Aaron Rodgers could have some big chunk plays down the field, and this game could get ugly. I'm going with the Bucks, but I expect Todd Bowles to really learn from those missed opportunities by Aaron Rodgers, Nick.
It's a great answer. I'm again going to the AFC game. I won't do that for all of these. Tre'Davious White. So here's a storyline that is just sitting there to be mined and no one discusses it. Did you know on draft day, the Buffalo Bills traded the pick that became Patrick Mahomes to the Chiefs? And what they got back, along with other things, was the pick that became Tre'Davious White. So in other words, hey, Patty, if you're watching, the Bills said we'd rather have Tre'Davious White than you. At the time, their quarterback, I think, was Ty Taylor. They said, no, we don't need Patrick Mahomes. We're going to go upgrade our secondary. Tre'Davious White has turned into an all-pro corner. Also, the only chance Buffalo has to slow down the Chiefs' offense is if they don't have to double Tyreek the whole game. That's on Trey White. So the biggest X factor, storyline-wise and X's and O's-wise, Trey White, how he does on Tyreek Hill throughout the game, that's the X factor to me, Wilds.
Okay, national media. Your old buddy Kevin Wilds has a request. A little odd. I need more toe updates. Need some more on Patrick Mahomes' foot. I got plenty of protocol updates on the concussion protocol. Seems like that's going well. He's going to play. But now I need more toe updates, because all I've heard is the way to beat the Chiefs is keep him in the pocket. And teams have a hard time doing it. He scrambles out. Uh-oh, there's Travis Kelce. But if this toe is not 100%, maybe he has to stay in the pocket. Maybe he can't do these like little 14-yard runs that are just like break the back of a defense. So more toe updates, please. Thank you.
Someone please grant Kevin Wilds' request. On to Josh Allen now. He's got a chance to make a statement on Sunday. To Nick, to all of his doubters, really. But Brandon, the player with the most bragging rights on the line come Sunday is blank.
Aaron Rodgers. For two reasons. One, he's going to be able to say, you guys drafted a quarterback in the first round. What were you thinking?
He's not going to go out there and talk about everyone else like Nick Wright picking Patrick Mahomes. He's going to look on his sideline and say, you guys went with a quarterback in the first round. And then the second one is this. Nick, cover your ears. Close your mouth. I want you to do this. I don't want you to respond to it. He's going to also be able to say, if he plays well, he's going to be like, I'm the best quarterback in the NFL. You guys keep talking about Patrick Mahomes. I'm the best quarterback. Coming into this year, it was clear cut. Patrick Mahomes was the best quarterback. And now he's going to be able to say, I'm that guy. Patrick Mahomes, come take it.
Can I talk now? Okay. All right.
Yeah, okay. But don't respond to that.
Hold on. Leave Brandon. I won't respond to it. I actually have a question for Brandon. Leave him on the screen. Brandon, who is the most talented quarterback you've ever seen? Give me a 1, 2, 3. It doesn't have to be exact order. The three names that come to mind. No. This isn't about just Patrick give me the Mahomes, three names.
Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson.
Okay, those three most talented you've ever seen. Gosh, Fitzpatrick gets snubbed again. So, you know who wasn't mentioned? You know who Brandon didn't even consider mentioning? Tom Brady. He's got the most bragging rights on the line. You don't think Tom Brady...
Okay, that's good.
Hold on, Wilds. Listen to the answer before you make your stupid faces. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to give your guy some credit here. Tom Brady, you don't think when he's at home with his friends and family, they mention to him, bro, you've got 6 rings. And whenever someone says the most talented quarterback ever, you don't even make the list. You're not even honorable mention. They talk about Rodgers and Mahomes and Marino and Manning and Favre. Now you have a chance at 43 years old to go into the most talented quarterback ever's house and whoop his butt. So he's the one with bragging rights on the line. He can just say, hey,
no,
guess what,
that.
Aaron Rodgers, miss me. What do you? Oh, yeah, absolutely people say that. Absolutely people say that. No. They call him the GOAT.
You think people
but they
say
don't
that,
say
hey,
he's
Tom?
Anything close to the most talented. Yeah, I do. I think Giselle
champion.
Says it all the time.
Okay. The difference.
I think
talented
before they go to bed,
so
they're like, hey, they
champion.
Don't think you're talented, Tommy. I do think that.
Go ahead, Wow.
Now I'm going to make a mean face right. No matter what you say.
Hey, Carlton Davis got a chance here to head up the cornerback rankings. If he shuts Davante Adams down, shut down Michael Thomas last week. And granted, Michael Thomas is like, yeah, he shut me down. I'm headed to surgery. I was really hurt. But there's some big games here. You know, just don't look at that Tyreek Hill one. That Tyreek Hill one is tough. And Dusty yelled at me. He demanded it was on there. But you can erase that one. Have a big game. Shut down Davante Adams and take all the Jalen Ramsey bragging rights away from him.
All right, let's talk about the play of the day. If Patrick Mahomes does indeed play, perhaps he breaks out the old behind-the-back pass that we know he's been practicing. But Brandon, the player most likely to have the play of the day on Sunday is blank.
Stephon Diggs. We're always talking about the quarterback. Quarterback this, quarterback that, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. I just did it. Nick just did it. You know, Wild, you always do it. But can we show the wide receiver some love? We're the most important piece to this whole puzzle. Do you not remember this play?
What?
The Minnesota Miracle? Do you not remember all the plays this year of him stepping up big, play after play, game after game? Stephon Diggs, Nick.
Last year, the divisional round game against the Houston Texans for the Chiefs ended with Frank Clark sacking Deshaun Watson. Last year, the AFC Championship game against the Tennessee Titans ended with Frank Clark sacking Ryan Tannehill. And last year, the Super Bowl ended with Frank Clark sacking Jimmy Garoppolo. All three playoff games, the final defensive play for the Chiefs was a Frank Clark sack. He's the one most likely to have the play of the day Sunday to end the game. I assume
that's
it's, you know, the Bills trying to, you know, cut a 24-point lead to a 17-point lead, and Frank Clark comes in and chops his arm. So there you go. Frank Clark's
kinda
my answer.
I agree with you there. I like that.
Thank
I
you.
I like
appreciate that.
That's a great take.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm going with Gronk, who's been healthy the whole season. He's played in every game, just barely missed a highlight-worthy touchdown last week. I think he gets it done, and as a Patriots fan, it's nice to not only have to root for Tom Brady, but I also get to root for Gronk. So I see this connection happening this weekend. We'll see a big Gronk spike. Play of the weekend.
Rob Gronkowski.
Good luck. Ooh.
It's just in. Wild is a Patriots fan. All right, well, let's stick with the weekend. Safe to say, if Mahomes does not play Sunday, we may not see Nick on Monday. The latest on the Chiefs quarterback next. First things first. We'll see Nick Monday. Back here, first things first, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. It's still too early to tell and see if he'll be 100% a go on Sunday, though Nick will probably implode if he doesn't. He's still working his way through concussion protocol, cleared some big steps yesterday. Mm. He's also nursing that big toe injury all ahead of Sunday's AFC title game with the Bills. Former All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook joining us now. Brian, good morning to you. Thanks for hanging. You expect to see the same high-octane Chiefs offense if Mahomes is cleared to play Sunday?
Well, good morning, Jenna. And to be honest with you, I absolutely do. Because I know Andy Reid and I know their head trainer, Rick Burkholder, very well. And if Patrick Mahomes is out there on the field, they're going to go out there and run the same exact offense that they've been running all season. And so what Andy Reid is going to do is he's going to go back to that Week 6 game and say, why did we have success? And when I went back and watched the game, there was a couple of different reasons. The number one reason was because the Buffalo Bills linebackers, on every play, because they're trying to stop the pass, they were taking a step backwards. And that allowed the Kansas City Chiefs offensive linemen to get up on those linebackers and now clear a path, for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to have 161 yards running the football. And that was why they were so successful as far as in that Week 6 game. Andy Reid is also going to go back to a couple weeks ago when the Bills played the Colts. And why did the Colts have so much success throwing the football as well as running the football? When you talk about running the football, Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, over 160 yards rushing the football. And that made the linebackers for the Buffalo Bills take a step forward towards the line of scrimmage. Now Phillip Rivers, with his accurate passing, was able to hit his crossers as well as some of his deep overs. And those are both things that the Kansas City Chiefs specialize in. And so, Nick, when I think about it, Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator for the Bills, is going to have to make a conscious decision. What are you going to try to take away from the Kansas City Chiefs, the run game or the pass game? Of course, with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to try to take away that pass game. I expect the Chiefs to run the ball effectively. And as soon as the Bills try to stop the run game, I expect Patrick Mahomes, with that passing attack, to be able to throw the ball down the field as well.
Yeah, that's all correct. And I've got good news and bad news for the Bills small-time crime syndicate. I can't call you a mafia anymore, Bills fans, because I spent 2.5 hours searching the tri-state area yesterday for a single solitary Josh Allen jersey, and they're not for sale. So I don't know how big your mafia can be if you don't extend south of Niagara, because nobody's buying your team's jerseys. But that's either
sold
here or there.
Out.
Oh, no.
Not
no,
sold
I
out.
Asked
not
that. That's not, that was not the answer. So here, so the good news for Bill's crime syndicate is today at 12:30 on the herd, you get to watch me get the Pinto Ron treatment. The bad news is this, and deep down you know it's true. Your team hadn't played that well in the playoffs. Oh, Nick, that's outrageous. Hear me out on this. In both games, you've been outgained by your opponent. 75 yards and 120 yards outgained by the Colts and the Ravens. In those two games, your team is a, let me check, 6 of 22, yikes, combined on third downs. Your opponent is 16 of 34. So how have you won the most unbelievable and unsustainable luck on red zone defense? In these two games of the playoffs so far, the Bills' defense has allowed the opponent into the red zone 8 times. And somehow the Colts and Ravens, those 8 red zone trips, have left with 16 points. 2 points per trip to red zone. By the way, 2 other times in the Ravens game, you let your opponent inside the 30, and they left with 0 points because of missed field goals. So that's 10 trips inside the 30, 16 points. That ain't happening on Sunday. So do I expect to see the Chiefs' high-octane offense? Well, I don't know, Brandon. Against the Browns, they literally never were stopped when Mahomes was on the field. They punted 0 times when Mahomes was on the field. So, yeah, I expect to see it, and I expect them to average more than 2 points
per red zone trip, which is what the Colts and Ravens were able to muster in their first two games. And I think you know I'm right. I think that look on your face you says you know I might be right.
You back me into a corner here, Nick. You back me into it. Can I just answer the question? I just want to answer the question.
Yeah.
Because everything you said is a whole nother segment. We got to spend maybe another 10, 15 minutes talking about everything you said. Because I totally disagree with you. No, I do not expect to see the Kansas City Chiefs high octane offense. Why? For two reasons. The Bills' defense, that passing defense that you just talked about. Let's take a look at this graphic that will explain everything. Nick is savvy with his words. He has the science and the art of being able to be an awesome communicator on TV. But don't let those words fool you. Completion percentage, look where they're at. How did they go from one of the worst defenses to now look where they're at right now today? Yards per pass, touchdowns to interception ratio, and also passing rating. This defense is the real deal. And so, Nick, you talk about this red zone thing like it's luck. You said luck. It's not luck. That is an actual thing. They're a really good red zone defense. They're a bend but don't break defense. And the last thing, you can take this graph off. And the last thing I want to say to you, Nick, before I pass it to Kevin, is the biggest X factor in this game is the Chiefs' running game. And it's not about... Mm-hmm. Is if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is there, if not, it's about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is deadly on the ground.
He's running
every
on third
time
down.
You look up
That's
in
true.
Those defense.
That's a good point.
When they're sputtering, he finds a way to pick up that third and seven, that third
That's
and
right.
ten. Now
right.
he
That's
has that gate. Foot and that toe, Wilds. That's a thing to watch out for in this game.
I've been watching, look, I've been scouting Patrick Mahomes toe videos and have come up over. So I need the NFL reporting contingent to get deep into toe investigation. Brian, I want you to talk about Mahomes running, but I also want to talk about something near and dear to your heart. Something that pains you to see. And it's not Mahomes MVP talk over Aaron Rodgers. It is when you lay eyes on an imbalanced offense. I know it strikes you down to your very core. When you see how little the Bills were running, and for some reason they stuck with it, even though that offensive strategy netted them 3 points in the first half. So do you think they need to run the ball more, not only because it's the right thing to do, but also to keep Mahomes off the field, good toe or not?
No doubt about it, Kevin. I think you're absolutely right. The Bills need to run the ball more because, first of all, it's going to do a couple of different things. The number one thing, it's going to allow your offense to be balanced. That means now the linebackers step up a little bit, trying to stop the run. It's also going to take some of the pressure off of Josh Allen as a passer, not having to carry the entire game. And the other thing, to your point, is it's going to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. That's the one thing that the Bills can do offensively to slow down the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs. Run the football, hold on to the ball, try to get that time of possession up so that Kansas City and that potent offense, that high-octane offense that we're talking about, is on the sideline. That's going to limit their possessions. You're trying to take Kansas City's possessions from 12 down to 8. If you could do that, you're going to limit the amount of time they're going to score on you.
That's good.
That's a great idea, Kevin. They're going to have to run the football, but that's something that they do not do as often as they should. They depend on Josh Allen to win. And Nick, when you think about it, if they can run the football, keep Kansas City on the sideline, that's a great design. They just don't do it enough.
It's a great design, and it's the design everyone says going into games against the Chiefs. This is the strategy. And guess what? Yep. No one can do it. Nobody. Last 25 times Mahomes has played, they've lost once. Okay, let's try to do what the Raiders did. You know how the Raiders beat them? They scored 40. That's how the Raiders beat them. It wasn't, oh, we're keeping Mahomes. Yeah. No, they won the game 40-32. Bill's
his toe,
small
his
corner
ankle,
gang.
Though. What
Listen,
about his toe and his
you
foot?
Guys, go try to outscore Mahomes. It's what you should do. But can we show just quickly, I apologize, Brandon's graphic, because it's a great graphic. But he left out one very important thing, if we can put it up. Look at the top. Three words. Since week 7. That's all you need to see.
Oh,
because
that's
here's
all that
the
matters.
Thing. I checked.
That's all that matters.
So why, pray tell, would we want to start counting the season after week 7? What happened in week 6? Oh,
you
the Chiefs
do it.
Kicked your ass.
You do it.
So after the Chiefs.
You do it.
Yes, I agree.
You do
pass
it all
defenses
the time.
Look look better. I do. I love doing
language.
It. But pass defenses look much better if you remove the time Mahomes lit you up. I'd love to see a lot of teams. Remove the Mahomes
banged
game.
Up.
Remove the Mahomes game.
My takeaway is Knicks fired up. Wilds really likes feet. Back to the NBA. How will the new look Nets play in Kyrie's return to action tonight? Wilds got a foot fetish. It's next. First things first.
Wow! Jenna tripling down. Tripling down.
Back here in First Things First, and we've got some breaking news to pass along. According to a report, Phillip Rivers is retiring from the NFL. Phillip Rivers made 8 Pro Bowls, but of course, never able to win the big one, the Super Bowl. Nick, I'll start with you. Is Phillip Rivers a future Hall of Famer?
All right, so congrats, Phillip Rivers. Wonderful career, but this is going to be the conversation. And if Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, then evidently all it means in the modern era to be a Hall of Famer is just be, you know, somewhere around a top 10 quarterback and you'll make the Hall of Fame. Because Phillip Rivers, if we put him in, Matt Ryan must be in. Matt Ryan's going to finish with the same numbers, if not better. He has an MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. Matt Stafford then says, what about me? My numbers look amazing. If you're going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, I need you to at least check one of these boxes. Were you a great playoff performer, or did you have a period of time where you were either the best quarterback in football or at least on the short list of the best or second best quarterback in football? Rivers checks neither. And I know his counting stats are spectacular, but he's got 5 career playoff victories. Oh, Nick, you can't hold that against him. I kind of can. I watched those Charger teams with LaDainian bleeping Tomlinson, an all-time great player throughout his entire prime. Phillip Rivers, you have LaDainian next to you, and you make one conference championship game. And so do we live in a world where, as you know, in 2015, 9 starting quarterbacks were future Hall of Famers? Brady, Breeze, Peyton, Eli, Ben, Russ, Rivers. I'm leaving a couple out that would also make the list. I got to look real quick. But Rodgers, pardon me, that now we're at 8. So I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he struck fear in the hearts of the opposition the way quarterbacks of his era did. And I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, Brandon. I don't.
Wow. Nick, you're so wrong here. I mean, you got to think about it. This could potentially be, he probably played in the greatest quarterback era ever. So when you talk about that Chargers team, I was on the other end of the field. I was on the opposite end. I was over there seeing him and Jay Cutler yell and scream at each other on Monday Night Football. I was in those battles. I saw him throw to Vincent Jackson. I saw him throw to Floyd. I saw him throw to Antonio Gates. He was phenomenal. But then when you think about this and this criteria that you put in place, you got to say, well, he also had to go against Tom Brady. He also had to go against Peyton Manning. He also had to go against Ben Roethlisberger and one of the greatest Pittsburgh Steelers defense. He also had to go against the Baltimore Ravens and Ray Lewis, some of the greatest defenses. The AFC back then was loaded, not only with the defensive guys, but also some of the greatest quarterbacks ever. So it pains me when we have these discussions around the Hall of Fame because the criteria is way too high. And I say it's way too high is because there's been over 150,000 NFL players come through of this league. Over 150,000. I don't know the exact number. The NFL has been around for over 100 years. So when you see a guy with everything I just said, and then he finishes top 10 in touchdowns and yards, he has to be considered. Now, is he first ballot? I don't think so. Does he have to wait? Probably so. But we need to change our approach, Brian, around this Hall of Fame thing, because it's extremely hard to not only make it to the NFL, but to stay in the NFL and play at a high level for 15 plus years. The injury rate here is 100%.
Yeah, Brandon, I think you're right, you know, but I do think that the criteria should be high. We're talking about the best of the best. You're talking about the Hall of Fame. We're talking about better than everyone else. And I think Nick brings up a really good point. And you have to win playoff games to be considered for the Hall of Fame. And Brandon, you laid it out kind of perfectly. You're talking about Breed. You're talking about Manny. You're talking about Brady. Yeah, you have to beat those guys because those are Hall of Fame quality type of players. And Phillip Rivers just didn't do that consistently enough. But yeah, he put up numbers. We understand that. But some of those numbers are just hollow numbers. You're running up numbers against teams that weren't very good. You have to win in the playoffs. Oh, you have to win championships, or at least be in the conversation for championships. And to Nick's point, I don't know that when you talk about the postseason play, that Phillip Rivers struck any fear as far as going far in the postseason, opposed to when you compare it to Breeze, Manny, Rivers, Eli. You talk about Big Ben as well. Yeah. I mean, those are the guys that you're worried about when you start the season, and not so much Phillip Rivers. But when you think about all the talent that he had on that football team, they should have been good for a very long time. They just didn't achieve to the level that I think they should have achieved.
Go ahead, Brandon. Then I'll jump in. Go ahead, Brandon.
So why don't we put teams in a Hall of Fame? Why don't we put units in a Hall of Fame? This is not a team award. This is an individual award. They fired his coach after they went 13-3. Right? So, like, I just think we need to expand this conversation.
So here's Brandon. I think I'm going to – let me jump in real quick because I think I'm going to say something that will resonate with you. I don't want the Hall of Fame to start looking like the league MVP award. The league MVP award is turned into best quarterback. And if we simply – like, if Phillip Rivers, who for the majority of his career was not at any point one of the four or five best active quarterbacks, then all of a sudden you only let five guys in a year. Andre Johnson, a guy who I know you know, Brandon, I have mass respect for, is going to have to fight tooth and nail to get into the Hall of Fame. There is a point in time where he was the best receiver in the league. Brandon Marshall is going to have to fight tooth and nail to get in the Hall of Fame. You were first team all pro. And the fact of the matter is, people, we can't lower the standard for the quarterback because we talk about them so much. Five guys get in a year. And if you were never close to league MVP, you never had a magical playoff run. The reason you weren't going on these runs is because great Hall of Fame quarterbacks were beating you. To me, once you open that door, Matt Ryan has to get in then. And Matt Stafford is a couple playoff victories away from getting in then.
Well, let me push you back on your first point, Andre Johnson. So why does Andre Johnson have to fight tooth and nail to get in? How many quarterbacks did he have? Did he control the roster?
I agree.
You are closer to it than I am. Because you were there, you covered the Houston Texans. Why does he have to fight tooth and nail? This dude had so many quarterbacks. He was in an organization that was rebuilding and reloading year after year after year. But Andre Johnson is one of the most dominant wide receivers that league has ever seen.
I agree.
He's 6'5", 225 pounds, and runs like he's Chad Ochocinco.
Andre Johnson was one of the best receivers in his era. That's what he was, one of the best in his time.
Yes.
Phillip Rivers wasn't ever considered one of the best in his time, the best in his era.
Donovan. If Phillip Rivers gets in, Donovan McNabb's got to be saying, the hell's going on here? Like Donovan McNabb has a better postseason resume, has more of those accomplishments, had to go through a gauntlet as well, and nobody says he's a Hall of Famer. I think Rivers probably gets in, but I don't think he should, Jenna.
Well, let's end like this. Congratulations, Phillip Rivers.
Yes, I was going to say congratulations.
Also congrats.
Great season for the 8-time Pro Bowl quarterback, Phillip Rivers, retiring from the NFL. Take a turn, talk some Patrick Mahomes. If he suits up Sunday, could he break out the behind-the-back pass? We'll preview this weekend's action next. Brian Westbrook, thank you as always. The NFL playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Bucks take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage starts 1 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Let's stay right there. The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, said John Facenda. Snow in the forecast for Sunday. Advantage Packers? Nope. Brady knows how to play in the snow. Bucks blew out the Packers back in week 6. Advantage Bucks? Nope. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said his team has, quote, come a long way from that day. So, Brandon, set us straight. What are the chances of another Bucs blowout come Sunday?
Jenna, I see no blowout here. If there is a blowout, it's going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being blown out. And you guys know I have the Bucs and the Bills in the Super Bowl. Yeah, man, because I had Coach Todd Bowles, and I know that defense really well. Like, I used to be out there making those calls. This defense is really, 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 really good. But it's also complex and sophisticated. He puts everything in the hands of that secondary. You know they're going to blitz. You know their goal is to get pressure on that quarterback. If pressure doesn't get there and those guys on the back end don't make the right adjustments and get to the right checks, you're going to see guys wide open. Go back to week six when they first played and that first drive. I was sitting there on my couch like, oh my goodness, it's going to be one of those games where Aaron Rodgers throws for 450 yards because he understands what's happening. He was dinking and dunking and he marched down the field in like 4 minutes and they end up kicking a field goal. And there was guys out of place. There was guys not getting to the flats when the cornerback came or the wheel came. And what did they do? They made those adjustments. They made the right checks. And it was lights out after that. Going into that game, that offensive line was amazing. They were probably a top three offensive line. And that defensive front made the Green Bay Packers look like I'll give them a high school team. They made them like a high school or a JV offensive line. It was that brutal. So I think that Todd Bowles is looking at that film and saying, okay, how do we get better coming out of a game where we totally dominated? And he's going to be looking at those guys saying, you guys got to communicate at an all-time high because there was a lot of opportunities for Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur to freaking get after us.
Yep. No, so both games this weekend, oddly, are not only regular season rematches, but they're regular season week six rematches. And so Monday and yesterday, I went back and rewatched both of these games in full. And I feel like you can take a lot from Bills Chiefs. And I'm not just saying that because the Chiefs won. It's just because there was nothing totally aberrant about how that game went. It's like Mahomes plays great. That's pretty typical. Josh Allen has some really good throws. One bad pick. Pretty typical. Like, okay, makes sense. Bucks, Packers, I feel like we can take nothing from it because it felt like an out-of-body experience. The moment Rodgers, I almost pantomimed it. I'm not going to. Did the discount double pump in the end zone.
Do it.
No,
touchdown that he didn't even actually score. He then, for the next 90 minutes, played the worst football of his career. I've never seen Rodgers look like that. Not at Cal, not his first year starting for Green Bay. After that, they went up 10-0.
That's true.
They had 53 yards the rest of the game. Rodgers went pick six. The next drive started with him throwing a near pick six. The next drive started with him completing a long pass down the sideline that got overturned. And once that got overturned, he didn't complete another substantial pass the rest of the game. So I know this is going to sound silly, but Wilds, I really feel like Tampa might feel better if they had won that game instead of 38-10, if they had won it 38-35. Like, it was like, okay, we took Rodgers' best shot. We overcame it. It just feels like it was such a throwaway game for Rodgers that I don't know how much we can take from it as far as building towards this game this weekend.
Totally. I don't know how much you can learn from a first-round knockout once you have the rematch. Because, like you said, it was a glitch in the matrix. Aaron Rodgers got sacked. Four times. He never gets sacked. He threw two interceptions. He had five all years. He got hit in double digits. That never happens either. They do a great job protecting him. So, Nick, here's the interesting thing. I think Tom Brady is actually at the disadvantage because as bad as Aaron Rodgers played, what did the Bucs do that day? Hand it off. Tom Brady, no one's talking about it, only threw for six more yards than Aaron Rodgers. So I feel like Tom Brady is going to look at this defense and be like, huh,
I didn't really do my thing last time we played because the game was such an aberration. We just relied on the run. So I think Aaron Rodgers has the advantage and Tom Brady's at the disadvantage, Nick.
Well, then I almost feel like we all agree you can throw this first matchup out, which, Brandon, brings me to a different point that I want to run by you. Rodgers has never played this round in this building. This is Rodgers. This is kind of remarkable. Every single quarterback that has been to at least four conference championship games has hosted multiple, at least two in their building. This is Rodgers' fifth. Yep. And he's never played it at home. This is remarkably Brady's 14th. Brady has played seven at home, seven now on the road. And so for Rodgers has never been this close to the Super Bowl as the favorite, as the guy that's expected to win. The only year they were the favorites was when they were 15-1 and they lost a round prior. And so that speaks to the Packers not doing a great job building around him, but that's a different discussion. Rodgers has an odd, different pressure because he's finally has a building or a game in his building to go to the Super Bowl, remarkably for the first time in his entire career.
Listen, Nick, I love all of that. But at the end of the day, if those guys on the back end, the secondary, the safeties and cornerbacks hold up, this is going to be ugly for Aaron Rodgers. I don't care where they're playing. I'm telling you right now, because they have the better defense. So you compare the Tampa Bay's defense to the Green Bay Packers' defense.
That's right.
And who's
that's
better? Who do you ride with, right?
Tampa.
And then you look at the pass catchers. You can potentially say Devontae Adams is the better wide receiver, right? He's one of the top one, two, or three receivers in the league. But when you look on the other side, they got three or four guys that can go in Tampa. Offensive line, they both been doing a great job of protecting. Probably both have top five, top six offensive lines. Quarterback position, I give the edge to Aaron Rodgers physically, but mentally I give the edge to Tom Brady. This is why you bring Tom Brady in. So, Wiles, to your point, you're handing the ball off. That's exactly what I want Tom Brady to do in this game. I want to see you guys run it for 35 times plus. That's what I want to see. And then in those critical moments, in the two-minute drill, that's when I need to see Tom Brady light it up and make the right decisions. He didn't do that at the beginning of the year. What he was doing was throwing it down the middle of the field, interception here, pick there, throwing the ball in the dirt. And what you've seen the last five games is Tom Brady just totally going to a whole nother level. There's an argument that Tom Brady is playing the best football that he has ever played. If you break down the last five to six games, he looks good mentally, he looks good physically. I'm telling you.
Don't you're getting me mad that you're going to attack Patriots legacy. He threw for less than 200 yards against the Saints, everybody. I'm pro Tom Brady, but it was less than 200 yards, and the defense gave him four turnovers. The Lions team that he played so great against didn't have a coach. They didn't have a coach, and he ran up the score.
I want
this idea that Tom Brady is playing like 2008 Tom Brady is maniacal.
Real quick. I do think there is an interesting angle on the Bucs defense because the Bucs defense against the Saints looked unbeatable. Some of that was Breeze's self-inflicted wounds. If the Bucs defense plays the level they played against Taylor Heinicke, who essentially played a homeless man Aaron Rodgers game, running for first downs, he's finding guys, then they can be had. The Bucs defense, Jenna, that showed up against Washington absolutely can be had by Aaron Rodgers. There's
sorry
no doubt about
you.
That.
Yeah, nobody cares about what you're saying. Nobody cares because later this morning, you are getting the Pinto Ron treatment. Please, a bet gone wrong. Are you ready, my friend, to be humiliated on national television?
So, listen, it's on at 12:30 on The Herd. I'm not saying there's something else you should watch other than The Herd, but there is a presidential inauguration going on at the exact same time. So if you want to watch that, great. If not, 12:30 on The Herd, this will be happening
tomorrow.
To me.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.